chapter 13, verses 23 through 30. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence you are. Then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Then shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first. And there are first which shall be last. Precious Lord, there's a message for the church found in the Gospel of Luke preached by Jesus Christ himself. For let us strive to enter in. Let us strive to enter in. For let not the gates close without us being inside. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I thought about it. I talked to people and everybody caught up in numbers. Everybody caught up in numbers. Everybody caught up in numbers. And I was thinking, I said, you know what? If Jesus ever went to one of these mega churches and preached John 6. Same thing would happen at that church that happened in John 6. The Word of God says that Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you everything. And the people that would follow him, the hundreds and maybe thousands of people, And the people looked at each other and said, that's a hard thing. Who can do it? And the Word of God says, and they turned and followed him no more. Now Jesus is preaching and he's going through the cities and he's preaching in cities and villages and he's on a journey. Luke 13:22 says, he's on a journey. Where is he journeying to? Calvary. He's on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover to die for the sins of the world. He's on his way to die. Look at verse 13, chapter 13, 22. And he went through the cities and the villages teaching. The emphasis is he wants people to understand what it really means to be a child of God, to be saved, why he came. We know why he came. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And he took questions. Jesus took questions. He wasn't teaching like with all authority. Nobody could ask him any questions because verse 23 says, and then said one unto him. I was teaching on Thursday. I believe it was Thursday, and we were teaching a lesson about Jesus, and it said, and the lawyer stood up and questioned Jesus. Here's a person here, and he said unto him, Lord. Now that's interesting. Because when the lawyer stood up, he called him good master. There's a difference between Jesus being Lord and good master. Okay? He said, Lord. Here's one of the greatest questions in the Bible. If you ever wonder, what is the greatest question in the Bible? Jesus is going to answer it today. Here's the greatest question in the Bible. And then one said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? Why did he ask that question? Why would you think he would ask that question? I believe he asked that question because he heard Jesus preaching, and he heard the demands of preaching, of the demands of what Jesus was saying. The disciples had the same question. The disciples said, well, Jesus, who then can be saved? Mm-hmm. They said, Jesus, who then can be saved? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Both of the situations aren't possible. Man on his own has as much chance of going to heaven as a camel going through the eye of a needle. But Pastor, what do you mean? See, it takes the faith of God for any of us to enter into His presence. That's why you hear me say all the time. It's just been on my mind and on my heart for months after months after months. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Watch this question in verse 23. And this one of the questions just stopped me. And I would like to preach through the whole text, but I got to stop here. I don't know how much I'm going to get through. I pray that God give me next week if I need it, but I got to answer this question. Are there few that be saved? Now, what's the question? Y'all know me. What's the question? I have to ask. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? Here's a story. Familiar story. I like familiar stories on Sundays. Okay? We can do Malachi and Habakkuk on Wednesday. But on Sunday, I like familiar stories. Acts 16:25. Here's a familiar story. Because the question has to be answered. If there's only a few being saved, I'm going to be asking, what do I need to do to be saved? If only a few are going to be saved, and we sing that song, I want to be in the what? I want to be in the number. Now, if I'm sitting here today, and a man asks Jesus, are there a few being saved? I want to make sure I'm in that few.
Amen.
Okay? There's a story of two hunters. And they was out hunting. And know the story. And a bear started chasing them. And the one guy stopped, tied his shoes up and put on his tennis shoes, tied them all up. And the man said, why are you doing that? And the man said, he only catching one of us. Okay? So at midnight, Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. and the prisoners heard them. Okay? And the prisoners heard them. The prisoners understood what they were singing. Could have been singing Amazing Grace. Okay? There's a litany of songs they could have been singing, but whatever songs they were singing, and I'm pretty sure the gospel was found in those songs. Okay?
Amen.
They weren't singing no Kirk Franklin. Okay? Shackles on my, so I can dance. They weren't singing that. They were singing praises to the Lord. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says it. They sang praises to the Lord. Now, if I'm locked up and they lock somebody else up, and instead of people, I'm going to be complaining. And I know a whole lot of safe folks will be in there like, listen, y'all got the wrong one. Give me a phone call. Call my lawyer. And whatever. They say praises to the Lord. Now watch this now. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaking, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Freedom.
Amen.
And the keeper of the prison, waking up out of his sleep and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. He would have killed himself because he was responsible. Back then, if there was an escape and you were on duty, you died. Okay? That's how it was. You had no union. But, verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. How about that? The prisoners that have been locked up, you know, they stayed. But this was God at work here. And he called for light, verse 29. And he called for light and sprang in and came trembling. He came trembling. Because he knew he was in the presence of God's people. The presence of God had moved on that prison. And he came trembling. What's the word of God say? Work out your salvation how? Work out your salvation how? With fear and trembling. And that word fear means reverence. Get you a proper understanding of the scriptures and work out your salvation. Why? Because it's important. Why is it important? Because the man just said, Jesus, there are only few that be saved. It's worth working out. We work out, some people go to the gym and work out. Some people work out all kind of puzzles and stuff. They sit there and work. I watch people work out puzzles all day. They work them out. Some folk work out in the yard. Some folk work on the cars. We work on a whole lot of things. Okay? Some of us planning on going on a vacation. We didn't work out all the details. Some of us going to a wedding. We got a wedding planner. You work out all the details of the wedding. All the way down to how many people going to be there, what color, I mean, corsages, the food, I mean, who's the caterer, I mean, who are we going to get the rings, I mean, everything worked out detailed. But when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our salvation, how much work are we doing? Football season getting ready to start. Them all the players are already in mini camps. They are. They training, watching everything, they eating, exercising, doing crunches and stretching, and they working out, getting ready for the season. But I don't know about you guys, but there's a season we need to be getting ready for.
Amen.
Okay. I know there was a time I had a head full of hair. Braided it all up. I was at the gym the other day, young brother come in there, hair all braided up, all kinds of designs. I was like, man, that's nice. I didn't say that to him. He was working out. I said, man, that's nice. Crisscross. I said, that's nice. And I did that. Okay. Now, watch this out. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. And fell down before Paul and Silas. and brought them out. Brought them out. Paul and Silas.
He knew who to go to.
And said, watch this now. What must I do to be saved?
Let me tell you something. You can get the answers to that question. Because folks ain't reading their Bibles. You can get 50 answers to that question. You can get 50 answers to that question. Because folks ain't reading their Bibles. And they'll tell you, you got to experience this, you got to experience that, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to go here, you got to do this, you got to speak this language, not speak this language, you got to tie, you got to be baptized, you got to get the Holy Ghost, you got to, come on now, y'all know I'm just a simple. It's the KISS theory. Oh, keep it simple. Keep it. How's it going? Keep it simple, stupid. Right. Listen. What must I do to be saved? That's all this man asked. Okay. You gotta have evidence. You gotta have some evidence now. Listen. Stay with me. Watch what Paul says. And they said, Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in the house. Is that difficult? No second blessings, no speaking in tongues, no tithing, no baptism, none of that. No, nothing. No, listen, trust and believe. But watch what he said. Watch what he said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Mm-hmm. Who is he? Believe on the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, broken record time. I'm a broken record preacher, okay? I ain't trying to do nothing new every Sunday. I'm not trying to put something new out on the buffet every Sunday. I just have the Word of God. What did he come to do? Who did he come to do it to? Why did Jesus come to earth? Okay? Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.
Amen.
Okay? You gotta believe on it. Watch what Paul says. Paul says, this is a faithful saying. Okay? Paul said, this is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation. Worthy for everybody to accept. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what Paul said. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all accepting that Christ Jesus came into the world, John 3:16, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. My father put that in there. Why did he have to add that? What's he saying? He said, if he saved the chief, if he bad enough to save me, anybody can be saved. Jeffrey Dahmer could be saved. Flip Williams could have been saved. O.J. Steele could be saved. Watch this. And we know, 1 John 5:20, I'm just going to give you another one. And we know that the Son of God has come. Okay? And have given us an understanding that we may know Him. See, to be saved is to know God. You tell me you don't know God, you're not saved. You got to know God. That we may know Him. What does it mean to be saved? That we may know Him. Him that is true. And that we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What does it mean to be saved? What's it mean to be saved? To have life eternal. To be sitting here today without a doubt. When that man said, are there a few being saved? You would have been sitting there like, that'd be me. That'd be me. Okay? So you see, I don't have a problem. People, you know, you got 10 members over there, you got 12 members over there, 8 members. It don't matter to me. If I get these 8 into heaven, okay?
Amen.
God has given me a greater opportunity. Okay? I can get real personal. I can get real personal. And you give me 500 and all kinds of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then they probably pay me too much. And I'll be preaching twice a month. Y'all understand what I'm saying though? Watch this. To be saved. To be saved is to have life eternal. To know that if you drop dead today, okay? See, some of us, we're not even thinking that today could be our last day on this earth. It don't even cross our mind. I was reading in the paper, there's a group of motorcyclists, a group of like, you know, 20, 30 of them driving in New Hampshire, and a truck ran into them, killed 7 of them. That wasn't nowhere in the plans. Okay?
Amen.
And I know what's going on. Folk leaving here all kind of ways. Okay? And people say, well, you shouldn't say that kind of stuff. You know, you hurt. I got to preach this gospel.
Amen.
Okay? I used to have a saying all the time. You know what? If you know someone, and we all do. See, we don't want to admit it, but we all do. See, we think everybody's going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
If we're honest with ourselves, we all know plenty of folks in hell.
Amen.
If the Bible's true. But let me say this. Well, I got a story of the rich man and Lazarus. And when the rich man was in hell, what was he doing? He was praying. That God would send somebody to his house to talk to his loved ones and his family members, his 5 brothers, as he would say, that's the job of the preacher. You know, listen, I got some folks that I love dearly that I know. The truth be told, they're not in heaven. I don't care what the preacher say. Because the world, see, by the world said that nobody go to hell. But it don't even exist by the world standard. Nobody go to hell. You go, you tell me, last time you've been to a funeral. And the preacher said, well, you know what? He didn't make it. He didn't make it.
Amen.
He in heaven. He got his wings. He in a better place now. He out of pain. And I'll be with him. We'll meet him again. Let me tell you something. I've been to funerals. If I run into some of the people that I was in there, I know I'm in the wrong place.
Amen.
I don't want to meet them again. I got to get it straight. There's some folks you don't want to meet when you die. You meet them when you die, you're going to be where they at. We love them and everything. Love them. I love them to death on this side. But I don't want to spend all eternity with them.
Amen.
Oh. Listen. We would never admit this. Margaret, we would never admit this. If somebody would ask you this, Margaret, you would say, you know what? All your family members, all your loved ones, all your children, all your cousins, all your aunts, all of them going to heaven. You probably be hard pressed to say, no. Only few being saved, they ain't in the few. You wouldn't say that. Hey, that's not nice, see? Joel C. would never say that. He said, he made it in. You don't have to believe to be saved. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to repent. You don't have to ask God to forgive you of your sins. You don't have to believe John 3:6. Everybody, heaven is a wonderful place. And everybody's going to heaven. That's the normal thinking. Is that not the normal thinking? That's the normal thinking. Here's what Jesus said. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. This is out of Jesus. Even either believe the Bible or not. I see all these folks getting away from Jesus. People is getting away from Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is too tight. People getting out of there, I'm getting away from Jesus. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I'm a Rastafarian. They're getting away from Jesus because Jesus is too tight. John 6 said they turned and walked away. They didn't want to hear that. All that Jesus stuff. Watch this. John 3:36. This is Jesus. He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. I can stop right there. He that believeth that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, walked this earth for 33 and a half years, never committed a sin, died on Calvary's cross, was buried, and rose on the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of God. He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. Now, let's look at the second part. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You see, we got this picture of Jesus as just so soft, so tender and so loving and so, and he would never say some of the stuff you say, Reverend Neil. No. This Jesus is radical. This is as radical as it gets. This Jesus here is confrontational. He's confronting not only the people there, but everybody from now on that reads this text. This is confronting somebody in this room right now. And it's confronting someone who's going to listen to this later on the day when I download it online. Because it is the Word of God. And I don't have a whole lot to preach about but the Word of God. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. How about that? The wrath of God abideth on him. What is the wrath of God? God's so loving. He's so kind. He loves everybody. Did I read this wrong? Did I read it wrong? Do I need to exegete it? Do I need to explain it any further? He that believeth not. Get out of here with that Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. All you want to talk about is Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in church and the Bible and the white man Bible. I don't believe in none of that. Okay. And then that person dies. You go to his funeral and a preacher has the audacity to say, well, he got his wings. You don't need no wings to go down. Oh, he got his wings. Wait a minute. What do you need wings for? Roaches and stuff don't have wings. Ants and stuff, let's say flying ants. They got flying roaches? I don't know. Evelina, Oklahoma roaches. Flying roaches. My point is, listen. Here's Romans 1:18. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's been preached to them. They know it. The Word of God said, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Okay? Listen. What does it mean to be saved? To have life eternal. To know God. To know God. Listen. You can get tricked. You know what one of Satan's greatest tricks is? To make you believe that you are alright. To make you believe that you are alright.
Amen.
Okay? Listen. You a child of the devil? You drinking, you smoking, you getting high, you cussing, you doing it, everything you know that a child of God wouldn't do. And somebody telling you, you are right. Okay? Listen. Paul writing to the Ephesians has knew something all about that. Remember, these churches, when Paul planted these churches, he planted them. Ephesus was a wicked city. He had the Temple of Diana there, 1,000 male and female prostitutes, and these people was coming into church. They was coming into the church, and they were claiming to be Christians and claiming to be born again, but they could not let go of the world. And it's saying, it's the saying in Youngstown. It's the saying in Cleveland. It's the saying in Dallas, Texas. It's the saying in Detroit, Michigan. Well, all these churches, I don't care where they are, you can put it all out in the suburbs, still surrounded by evil.
Amen.
Okay? Paul says, Ephesians 5, 6, he says, listen, let no man deceive you with vain words, empty, meaningless chatter. Don't let no man deceive you thinking that everything's going to be all right, that you can live any kind of way and you're going to get a set of wings. Okay? Paul, everywhere he went, he stirred up. They wanted to kill Paul. They stoned Paul. They had to let Paul over the wall in a basket. They took a fast. The people in the city said, get this man, we're not going to eat until we kill him. How about that? Paul, here's all Paul said. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What's Paul saying? Don't let anybody fool you. Think you can live any old kind of way? Do anything you want to do? And walk up into God's glory? No. No. I ain't gonna get far. I ain't gonna get far. What's it mean to be saved? What's it mean to be saved? To know God? Okay. To have faith in God? To know God? To have faith in God? To know that you have eternal life? Okay? If you don't know you have eternal life and you sit here today and you say, well, you know what? I don't know. Or if the person closest to you say, I don't know. Really, I don't know. If my husband died today, or if my wife died, I don't know where she'd go. That's a problem.
Amen.
That's a problem. You need to know. Listen. You need to know without a shadow of a doubt. This ain't no crapshoot. This ain't no lucky thing. There got to be a seeking. There had to be evidence that. We tell a story. If someone was to come to your job, your community, your neighborhood, your home, would they find enough evidence to convict you of being a man of God or a woman of God? Or would they say, you know, listen, bro, you got the wrong one. Okay, this guy ain't never praised the Lord, ain't never opened a Bible, ain't never passed out a tract, ain't never said, he don't even say God bless you if somebody sneezes. There's no evidence that this brother Christian. There's a seeking. And you can be smart and know the Bible. You can flip the pages and have a call. You can have 9 Bibles.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it still don't mean nothing.
Amen.
Okay? You can sit here and know all the scriptures and flip them off your tongue. Listen, there's a seeking. There's a turning away that comes with this salvation. This is when we use the verse and we use it all the time. Therefore, Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. What's that mean? He's got a new nature, new desires, new affections, new goals, new principles. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And somebody said, well, you know, I got my struggles, and listen, let me tell you something. A Christian without struggles is not a Christian. Let me say that again. A Christian without struggles is not a Christian. Because therefore, any man being Christ, he's a new creature. Don't make you perfect.
Amen.
Paul, at the height of his apostolic authority, said in Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I do, I do not want. The struggle is part of the battle. Paul struggled the whole time. David struggled. Every man of God struggles. And their victory in the struggle, their strength in the struggle. Paul came to the Lord. Watch this now. He says this in Philippians 3. I love this verse. Y'all know it. Paul says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, wherefore he might trust in the flesh. Paul said, I'm more. Paul said, I had it all together. Paul said, I was a big baller. I had it all together. I had money. I had wealth. I had family. I had integrity. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Paul said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Okay? Of the tribe of Benjamin. He put it out there. He lost it. He just telling everybody, I got it all together. Today we would be sitting here like, I'm living large. I got a fleet of Lexus. I got Rolls Royce, Bentleys. I got it going on. Paul says he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Paul, he said, the Kardashians ain't have nothing on me. I was a super lawyer. Okay? He said, watch this now. Concerning zeal, persecute the church. Touching the righteousness which is the law, watch this. Blameless. Blameless. Here's where it gets good. Because when God came into Paul's life, when God transformed Saul to Paul, knocked him off his high horse on Damascus Road, put him in check. Told Ananias, and Ananias was scared to death, but told Ananias, he's mine. Don't worry about him. He harmless now. Okay? Okay? He harmless now. I done neutered him. Claire said he declawed him. He declawed him. He's been declawed and neutered. He ain't no problem now. And Paul acknowledged that in verse 7. Paul says, and what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What is your relationship with the Lord cost you? Okay? What is your relationship with the Lord cost you? Paul said, I was a bad man. I was big time. I was a big shot. I was a heavy hitter. They got mad at that football player from the Steelers a couple years ago. And he was a good football player. He just quit. He said, I want to serve God. He just walked away from it. And the folks was like, he must be crazy. He already had signed a $35 million contract. What does he need? He said, I got to serve the Lord. And he walked away, and everybody like, man, that was crazy. Paul was crazier than that. Paul walked away. Paul said, yea, doubtless. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, there's a change that's taking place. Paul was persecuting the Lord and all the Lord's people. But now when the Lord came, Paul counted it all up. Remember the rich young ruler came running. Rich young ruler came running. Came running. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, there's none good but one. He says, go sell all that I have and give to the poor. Come follow me. We know the story. And the rich young ruler, Luther, he counted all up like Paul. Paul said, I counted all things. Paul knew what he was going to cost him. Paul knew what his relationship with the Lord was going to cost him. It was going to cost him his position. It was going to cost him his integrity. It was going to cost him his everything. Because a man in those days, if you accepted Jesus Christ the Lord, you was booted out of the synagogue. You was kicked out. You was kicked out. Paul knew that he was going to be kicked out. So we don't want to get kicked out of nothing. We don't want to be put out of nothing for Jesus. It's going to cost you something. Okay? My relationship with the Lord has cost me. Now, I sit here and say this. Every man that was at this church loved me. Okay? Every man that was at this church loved me. And everyone that left, because that's because their wives didn't want them here. Can I be honest? Okay? They love being here. They love hearing the preaching. They love hearing the desperation and the dogmatic style of preaching. But they gotta get away from this fool before you be like that. Next day you don't want to preach. You want me acting like Cindy, wearing dresses and stockings. Okay? Y'all don't hear me. Yea, doubtless, I count all things lost. You know, my brother when he talked to me, said his wife come home. She was going 2 years. She was going 2 years in San Diego. 2 years. She was going 2 years. He called me every day. I took him to the hospital. I took him to every doctor's appointment. I took him everywhere. I mean, I was up here. I got to be at the doctor at 5 o'clock. Well, I'm there. 4:30. Wife come home. I ain't heard from him in 6 months. Ate up everything in the house. But see, it's going to cost you something. See, I can water it down. I can be a parrot. I can be a puppet. Say what everybody want to say and make everybody, all the women happy. Oh, he's so nice. He's so nice. He's so nice. You, the pastor, nice. He's so, if I didn't know any better, I wouldn't even think he was a pastor. Let me tell y'all something. You know what they call the prophets in the Old Testament? They called them the disturbers of Israel. Y'all know the story. When Samuel came to town, folks started running and hiding and getting sackcloth and ashes because they knew the men of God was coming to town. They didn't play. Okay? We don't want to disturb nobody. Let me tell you something. If you don't get disturbed, you don't get saved. Okay, when I was out there doing my thing and acting a fool, I got disturbed. The preacher got on my nerves, got disturbed. Who are you talking to? thought I had it all together. I thought I had it all together. He disturbed me. Questioned me. Questioned my integrity and my character, my manhood. Questioned everything about me. And I sit here, like Isaac Hayes. I stand accused. Oh, my. Who do you think he is? I'm just visiting. Life ain't never been the same. Because there's a cause. There's a cause. That's all I'm saying. Like I said, the world believes everybody going to heaven. It's sad to say. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Okay? You got some loved ones that's not in heaven. Amen. And right now they're praying that you don't come. Okay? They saying, listen, I don't want my uncle to come. I don't want my sister to come. I don't want my brother. Whoever it is, you know who it is. I'm not trying to be picky, but they probably say, preach, Reverend Neil, to preach to my peoples. Don't let them come to this place. Listen, I don't care if your worst enemy is in hell. Your worst enemy could be in hell. They don't want you to come. That's how bad it is. You ain't not speak to them. You ain't spoke to them. I remember talking to a lady, two officers of Oregon. I'm like, y'all need to stop. And she said, she can go to hell.
My Lord.
And I'm sitting here like, both of them dead now. Now I come to think. And I'm sitting here like, wow. I said, you really mean that? And she came back and apologized to the lady she said it to. But you don't want nobody want to go to hell.
Amen.
Okay. Listen, I'm not gonna be long. Let's talk about today. Last point I want to make. What is it to be saved? What does it look like? Y'all ever seen it? Anybody ever seen that person who had that new nature? Or Acts 1:8 said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. I came in today. I felt good today. I don't know what happened. I feel good today. Okay? And I was listening, like I said, I listened to some Southern gospel. Sometimes I listened to Southern gospel and a song came on and it says, feel like a walking on water type of day. And I played it a couple times. That sounds nice. Feel like a walking on water kind of day. You ever had them kind of days? In the Lord. You just feel good in the Lord. You feel His presence. As believers, we ought to be walking in the fear, in the admonition of the Lord, in the admonition of the Lord. What does it look like? What does the new birth look like? Somebody say, you know what? I declare I got born again. You gonna be looking for something. You gonna be watching. Okay? That person gonna become a seeker. That person's knowledge of God has to be increasing. What's genuine faith look like? We talk about this morning. Genuine faith. You know, people say, well, yeah, he's working all the time. He always at the church. Listen, that don't get you. That's not genuine faith. That comes second. Okay? For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is a gift of God. And talking about Anthony back there, love getting stuff. I love buying him stuff. He lazy though. But I love buying him stuff. I say, Anthony, pick up some sticks for me. He pick up one. I say, Anthony, open this package. It's yours. He fast with that. But what am I saying? What's it look like to be saved? Got a new heart. You got some genuine faith. Faith, we talk about Abraham. Faith don't make you perfect. But faith gives you the tools that you need to have a relationship with God. We talk about Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with the Lord. Okay? A person who is truly saved is walking with the Lord. And the Bible didn't say Enoch was perfect. The Bible said Enoch walked with the Lord. Okay. The Word of God said Abraham was the father of faith, but he still had questions and doubts and fears. But he knew who to go to. He knew who to go to. I listened to Sister Claire pray and love to hear her pray. And all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Love the Lord. And listen, you don't love him any, no more than when you're in trouble. Okay? People say, well, that's for people who love the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you're in trouble, and the Lord, and you have been raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that's going to come up in you. Okay? And God uses adversity. God uses trials and adversity to get folks to him. We talk all the time about three things God used to get people. He used a word. He used people. And he uses circumstances. So, you know, I sit here and worry about people getting into stuff. You're going to get into stuff. Why? Because you're in this flesh. And this flesh ain't going to let you rest. You got to wrestle with it. Paul said, I fought it and battled it. Why? Paul said, because when I had preached to others, I didn't want myself to be a castaway. Paul battled with it. Let's close. I'm just looking through my notes. I'm not even going to go through. I had all kinds of points in here, and I got stuck on being saved. That happens sometimes to the preacher. Because they know you see going on. If the verse said, are there few being saved? Are there few being saved? What's it mean to be saved? To have eternal life. To know God. To have eternal life. And to know God. To see His face. To understand that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. That's what he came for. Okay? He didn't come to entertain us. There wasn't nothing entertaining about the cross. There wasn't nothing entertaining about him getting scourged and beaten and spit on and a crown of thorns slammed on his head, nails driven through his hands. There's nothing entertaining about that. Okay? But it's a picture of love. It's a picture of the greatest love ever. And I talk to young people, listen, try to love somebody without Jesus. Have at it. I tried it for a while. Didn't work real well. Okay? Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. Gave us a clear understanding of what it means to be saved. And if there's only a few being saved, Lord, I want to be in that number. The verse goes on to say it's a narrow road. It's a narrow road that leads to heaven, and few be on that road. I want to be on that road. I want my people to be on that road. I want everybody at the sound of my voice. I want everybody that God has placed me over in this church. I want them all on that narrow road. I want us to eat chicken in the fellowship hall, and I want us to fellowship when we get to heaven. I also want to be with us. I want to see all those that have gone before. All of them. I want to see them. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us a heart of understanding. Thank you for keeping the message so simple. Nobody knows how that's too deep. That's too hard to understand. It's easy to understand, Father God, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there's none other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved.
Yes, Lord.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. No man comes to the Father but by me. Father God, give us understanding.
Yes, Lord.
Give us clarity. Give us peace. Give us faith
to believe. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.